hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce Lauren McAfee, human dignity advocate, author, wife, and mother. Lauren, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Yeah. So in terms of defining moments in my life, things that come to mind in both my work and in my personal space, I think that defining moments have come whenever I've taken time to understand people who disagree with me. And specifically, listening to people who have different views than me has been a redefining experience whenever I actually sit and listen and ask questions and try to understand the person on the other side of their convictions. And even if I disagree with them, I'm often changed by that experience. So it doesn't mean that my beliefs are necessarily changed, but in the listening process, my heart and my tone are changed. And the way that I see people on the other side of issues is changed. And so I think that listening is a really wonderful practice that we each can learn to do. And in my life, I've tried to learn to practice listening well. And that truly has been some of the most defining moments in my life, is seeing people for who they are and hearing their heart behind their work and their issues and their advocacy. I'm in an advocacy space, and seeing the person for the person and not the person for the caricature or the labels or the advocacy issue, but seeing them as the person has truly changed my life in so many different instances, and has been a lot of small defining moments that I would say kind of in the listening process has kind of culminated in seeing that as a defining piece.
Amazing. Do you want to tell us about your work as a human dignity advocate and kind of how you got into that line of work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a person of faith and believe in what the Bible teaches. And so that has shaped my worldview and my foundations about my worldview. And everyone has foundational worldviews that shape their perspectives. And so mine are shaped theologically by the scripture. And the Bible has given a beautiful gift in the teaching of human dignity for all human beings. So in Genesis, the Bible teaches that humans were created with inherent dignity and value, and that it doesn't matter what capabilities or accomplishments, whether that's age or gender or race or economic status or anything, those things don't determine value and dignity. If you're a human, then you have that value. You have dignity, and that's inherent, and people can't take that away, and that should be respected. So that has deeply influenced my work, and so I am a human dignity advocate because of those beliefs. And we also see that the Bible teaches, also in Genesis, that we live in a broken world, and so for me, that means we recognize that people are not always treated with the dignity that they deserve. And so I love seeing the example that Jesus had in his time on earth. He gave great dignity to everyone that he came in contact with. And he was often spending time with people who were poor or lowly, or those who the culture saw as outcasts, or those that had lower status. And he saw everyone with dignity. It didn't matter what the culture was communicating about that person. And specifically, his example with women is such an encouragement to me in my work. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was alive and walking the earth, he was the culture for women was very different than today. Women were seen more as property for their male authority, whether that was their father or their husband. Women had no legal status in courts. That was the culture of the time period there. And Jesus did not conform to those cultural norms. He interacted with women. He taught women. He, in one example in the book of Luke, in the Bible, Jesus is interacting with a woman who is such a cultural outcast that she's going to get water from the well at the hottest time of the day, which means she was avoiding interacting with others in her own community. And Jesus goes and sees her and starts talking to her. She was a Samaritan woman and he was a Jewish man. And if you know anything about those cultures, Jews did not interact with Samaritans. They were there were cultural differences and historical differences that kept those people groups from interacting. And also men didn't interact with women at that time, but he interacted with her. He saw her as a person. He didn't conform to wrong stereotypes about gender or people groups. He saw her as a human and treated her with dignity and respect and kindness. And so that type of example is what has shaped me and my work and what I want to live by. And so I do human dignity advocacy, and that can often encompass issues that can translate to political issues. So if you consider, you know, racial issues, beginning of life issues, end of life issues, those often get, you know, in the political sphere, very polarizing. And so there are challenges that come with that. And I deeply want to keep my focus on channeling both the grace and the truth that Jesus lived out in his life, in terms of seeing people with dignity, even if I don't agree with them, but also listening well to everyone that I come in contact with.
I love that. It sounds like your work is very close to your heart. So that's really lucky to be able to sort of align those two things. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you wrote in your book and what your book's all about?
Yeah. So I wrote a book with my mom, Jackie Green, called Only One Life. And we spent time researching women from the Bible, women from history, and also modern day women who we believed were beautiful examples of living a life on purpose and a life that had eternal purpose. And so Mom and I got to write these mini biographies throughout the book and just highlight some of the ways that women have been incredible world changers and shaped things for eternity, changed things in eternity. And so we got to highlight women's stories and we weaved a bit of our story throughout. And so we focused on different character traits of women and then found women that we admired in each of those different. So whether it was a woman who, women who were incredibly bold and used that for good, or women who were generous, women who were encouragers and prayers and prayed for others well, and then highlighted their stories. And we really wanted to, we highlighted some women who would be known. One of the women we talked about was Queen Elizabeth, the current queen, and the way that she encourages and others. But then we also wanted to highlight women that may not have been known. And so in our book, Only One Life, we highlighted 36 different women, and you can go and look at our book. You know, it's anywhere where books are sold, but if you go on Amazon, you can look at the table of contents and see the women that we highlighted. But my mom and I have just had the privilege of having wonderful women in our lives that have modeled for us a life of intentionality, both in terms of family, our parents and grandparents, and the way that we've had wonderful, strong women in our family heritage, but also women just that we've been able to either read about or know personally that it's not necessarily a woman that has large platforms or does work that is super noticeable, but it's women who were faithful to their calling and who lived their life on purpose with wherever it was that God placed them. And that was what we wanted to highlight. And so we had a lot of fun writing that book. It was really cool to do that as a mother-daughter duo, and writing together was really fun because my mom and I have worked together a little bit in the past for Museum of the Bible. And this was a different project we were working on very closely. And so we learned a lot about each other working so closely together. But it was a lot of fun.
That's super cool that you can work that closely with her. It shows a strong relationship. So tell us about when you need to be inspired and you need your cup filled up as a working woman who's doing a lot to change the world for the better. Where do you go for inspiration? And when you're feeling burned out, where do you go to refill your cup?
Yeah, so I definitely, there are two things that I go, that I go to that definitely fill my cup. And the first one is the Bible. Honestly, that it might sound cliche for someone that's religious or a faith person to say the Bible, but it truly, reading the Bible and seeing that bigger picture perspective helps me remember that I am a part of something much bigger than myself, and just kind of takes my perspective off of myself and puts it towards a bigger God that I know is bigger than me and bigger than my circumstances and that I can trust and is a good, loving Father. And truly that perspective shift gives me great comfort and strength. And then secondly, my community. So I love the community that I have here in Oklahoma City. Most of them are through my church, and my church community is such a great encouragement to me. People that just walk alongside me in both my joys and my trials and are there to give me encouragement. And so if I'm ever discouraged, I'm always trying to call, you know, some of my friends and grab a cup of coffee and just live life alongside my community and get to hear from them and share about my own, you know, trials and just know that I have the support of my community. That means the world to me, and that definitely fills my cup.
Amazing. And when you look to your future, what do you see?
My future. Well, so many things about what I do now are not at all what I would have said were going to be a part of my future if you'd asked me this 10 years ago. So I guess I've learned to hold what I see in the future with an open hand and trust that the Lord is directing all things. But I certainly hope to see being able to continue to work in human dignity, advocacy, and see the growth on just the respect for one another, caring for one another as human individuals grow. I'm very passionate about that. And especially in seasons where we've seen such polarization and for understandable reasons, there's been a lot of really challenging issues for people to navigate. But ultimately praying that we see respect and kindness for one another. And also personally, I hope to see more kids in my future. My husband and I have been pretty open about our challenges with infertility, and we've also pursued adoptions and had a lot of challenges there too. And so we want to grow our family and continue to pray that the Lord would allow that to happen. So we'll see.
I'm wishing you so much luck on that front. I spoke to an adoption, someone who works in the foster care adoption space just before you. So
nice.
Kind of faithful. So tell us, though, what so far in your life is your proudest moment?
My proudest moments are when I'm able to love someone who would be perceived as an enemy or someone who doesn't like me. There are so many times I don't do this well, and that human instinct to kind of get angry or fight against someone who doesn't like me, or whether it's we have opposing views or someone who's actually being hostile towards me. But to have the power to not let that disagreement with me control me, but to rather to channel my energy into seeing them as a human, seeing them as someone who is dealing with their own hurts and pains and things in their past and their own experiences, and to pray for them. That I think I'm certainly proud of myself when I can do that. And so those are some of my proudest moments. And like I said, I do not always do that well. It takes a lot of patience and grace. And so I pray that I continue to grow in that area. But in the Bible, in Matthew 5, Jesus is talking to a group of individuals who are listening to him speak. And he's talking about, you know, ways that we can interact with one another. And he says to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so that's a very countercultural not intuitive thing for humans to do. And so because it is so challenging, I'd say I'm proud whenever I'm able to follow that example that Christ spoke of and lived himself, and to love my enemies and care for them as human beings, and not just see them as someone that I want to be angry at. So those are definitely proud moments for me.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you, to help us reach other wildly capable women.